Wake up.
It's your early breakfast
with Africa Milani.
13 minutes, it is past 5 o'clock. The lawyers of former President Jacob Zuma will be before the Supreme Court of Appeal later today to try and overturn the ruling which found his medical parole release was unlawful. Joining me on the line now is the MD of Youth Prudential Special Counsel, Benedict Piri. Benedict, it's been a while. Good morning and welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Africa. Good to be back on the show.
I suppose, in the essence, the matter before the Supreme Court of Appeal will really relate to the powers of the Correctional Services Commissioner. Was Arthur Fraser allowed to effectively disregard advice from the Medical Parole Board and offer and give the former president medical parole or not?
Yeah, I think that's correct. And if we just think back to Judge Matojane's judgment in which he granted Mr. Zuma leave to appeal, he said that the two things that are important for the Supreme Court of Appeal to determine in this instance. The first is, as you've said, whether Arthur Fraser had the power to grant a medical parole. And that question comes from, some kind of ambiguity, if you call it that, between Section 75(7) of the Correctional Services Act, which seems to give him power to give medical parole to inmates who are serving sentences less than 24 months, and Section 79, which, you know, creates the framework for the granting of medical parole for all prisoners. So when you read those two, it seems like there's some kind of ambiguity that needs to be settled by the Supreme Court of Appeal. And then the second question then actually goes to the remedy that Judge Matojane granted after he found that the granting of the medical parole was unlawful. He said that Mr. Zuma should go back to jail and the time that he'd spent outside jail should not be counted towards reducing the 15 months to his sentence. Judge Matojane said, well, it may be that the Supreme Court may come to a different conclusion in this particular respect as well, because it may not necessarily be fair to Jacob Zuma that he goes back to prison and serves the balance of the 15 months, even though he has been on medical parole the whole time. So those are the two central questions that will be before the Supreme Court of Appeal today.
Let's go then back to the first one, as you outlined it, Benedict. What will the various counsel need to argue, I suppose, for them to be winners of whatever issues at hand?
Yeah, I think it's more difficult for Mr. Zuma's counsel, because whenever you're faced with a question of ambiguity in a legal statute or a law, the rule is that you have to interpret it firstly in a reasonable manner, and secondly in a way that gives effect to the objects of the particular legislation. So if we take a step back here and just remember that this act came into being around 2012 after there was an outcry around the Shabir Sheikh medical parole and some issues that basically created the old system to not be fair. So if you read the act the way that Mr. Zuma and the Correctional Services Department wants you to read it, you're still stuck in a 2012 situation where the Correctional Services Commissioner literally can decide on a whim who he gives parole to, medical parole to, and without necessarily some legal constraints. So I think you have to be forced to look at it within the way that, or at least the Supreme Court of Appeal will probably go down the route of looking at it the way that AfriForum and the DA will put it, to say, well, there's no rational distinction for prisoners that are serving a sentence less than 24 months and those that are serving more than 24 months for them not to go through the medical parole advisory board. It's discriminatory. And that in itself doesn't make any sense insofar as the objects of the act are concerned. And secondly, the medical parole advisory board has to have this power if you want to create a fair structure. So I think that's going to be a hard, hard argument for the former president to win. And assuming even if Arthur Fraser had the power to make this decision, that decision still has to fall within the constraints of legality and rationality. And in this particular instance, the considerations he took into account had nothing to do with medical parole, but had everything to do with political considerations. So I think it's going to be very difficult for the former president to win that first part of the argument as well.
Well, an essential part of any medical parole being granted has to be the existence of a terminal illness, right? That was one of the big issues with Shabir Sheikh being granted medical parole. The former police commissioner, in fact, was the one who was more than liable, eligible rather, for medical parole. He went on to die as a result of his illness involving kidneys at the time. I seem to remember him walking out with a catheter attached to his body. That instance made sense to afford one medical parole. Jacob Zuma, yes, is unwell, but he's not about to die by all accounts, is he?
Well, certainly from the medical reports that we've seen in the initial application, there was no suggestion at all. And in fact, Judge Matojana is saying that there's no suggestion that he's suffering from a terminal disease or a condition that would render him physically incapable, you know, or he can't really attend to his daily activities or self-care. So we certainly don't have those allegations in any of the papers, and I don't understand the former president's case to be that case, which is really fatal when you actually look at the provisions of the Correctional Services Act insofar as they relate to medical parole. So I don't expect him to be able to succeed on that basis, simply because there's no factual basis to make that assessment in respect of his state of health. Even though he's old and is frail and he may be sickly, he's certainly not on his deathbed from what we see on the court papers.
And then the second element, which will be under debate and discussion later today, is the amount of time does he go back to 2 months and one day of sentence, or does he say, well, I've been on medical parole and 15 months is now passed? As a South African, I would want to see him back in prison for 2 months and one day, because if it can be proven legally that Arthur Fraser did overstep and did not have the powers to grant medical parole in the manner that he did, then technically Jacob Zuma has not enjoyed any incarceration, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be the most difficult part for the Supreme Court of Appeal, because ultimately, you know, the remedy does have to be fair to Mr. Zuma. And if you take the position that he was an innocent party in this particular instance and everything was done by Arthur Fraser, you know, you face then with the dilemma that, well, on the one hand, you have to be fair to him, but then you have to effectively vindicate, you know, the undermining of the Constitutional Court's decision, which sent him to jail. So, you know, that is really going to be a real, real question of pragmaticness, I think, from the Supreme Court of Appeal. And we'll hear a lot of arguments around what is pragmatic in this particular instance, because I think that's really where a good decision is going to come from.
Benedict, thank you very much for your insight as always. Benedict Piri, an MD at US Prudential Special Counsel, reflecting on some of the key legal issues which will be argued at the Supreme Court of Appeal when Zuma's lawyers try and overturn the ruling of the High Court in Gauteng, which found that his medical parole release was unlawful. Dumisani in Germiston, you've got some thoughts on this. Good morning.
Okay, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. How are you doing?
I'm fine, yeah. I mean, the contempt of court case against Zuma should have not been in the Constitutional Court, first of all. Secondly, the Constitutional Court was wrong to hear the commission appeal, application, because the case was Zuma was already appealed to the High Court to say that Judge Zondo was wrong, laws are not to rescue himself.
But that's not the issue.
This was confirmed by Judge Zondo at the JSC interview. That he said that, yes, there is a pending appeal by Jacob Zuma for his refusal to rescue himself. But the Constitutional Court continue to hear the case of Jacob Zuma. despite the fact that there was an appeal at the High Court.
Sure. Dumisani, I take nothing of that away, and there were certainly legal flaws in the process that we've discussed and debated at length on this show. This is not what's this issue, though. He was found in contempt of court. He was sentenced to 15 months in jail, and he was granted medical parole. And the issue is, should Arthur Fraser overturned effectively recommendation by a medical parole board and granted Jacob Zuma medical parole or not?
Ordinarily, the contempt of court, if you are serving a sentence less than 12 months, you are legally be awarded in a parole if you serve the quarter of that sentence, that is 3 months.
No, Dumisani, the issues here were Jacob Zuma is sick, so sick, in fact, that he's almost going to die. So therefore, Arthur Fraser granted him medical parole. This was not the advice that Arthur Fraser received from the medical parole board in the first place.
The court has to decide who's wrong between Arthur Fraser and Mr. Zuma, because Mr. Zuma is an innocent party in here. Because the man who granted him, that is Arthur Fraser, is the one who should be judged whether he was wrong or right.
And that's one of the issues that's going to be debated in the Supreme Court of Appeal, Dumisani, no doubt, whether or not Arthur Fraser, in his role as Correctional Services Commissioner at the time, has the power or not to grant medical parole, once again, against the advice of the Medical Parole Board. Thank you very much for your call. Right.